Your dad was John McCain.
Yes. My dad was a huge music fan. I'm going to tell you right now, my dad loved Willie Nelson. And people are like, you can't say you liked Willie Nelson because he dodged his taxes, blah, blah, blah. Well, he loved Willie Nelson. He did.
Everybody thinks they can do it. How can I become a professional wrestler? You really can't.
I pulled out the gun and I shot two times.
We have a complicated family. We were all raised to argue with each other with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other.
This is WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome to WTMJ Conversations. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Bianca Fuster is an award-winning sports documentary filmmaker. Her film, The Warrior Princess, won Best Documentary at the 2022 Women's International Film Fest. And she also received the Alan H. and Susan L. Selig Audience Award for Best Short Film in the 2022 Milwaukee Film Festival. She's passionate about the art she creates and the people whose stories she tells. But there's so much more to Bianca's story. And let's talk about, were you born here in Milwaukee?
Yes, born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee. My mom still owns the house that I grew up in, right down the street in the Walker's Point neighborhood, but right down the street where I went to school. Yeah, I'm a Milwaukee kid.
What was life like for you growing up in Milwaukee?
It's been a while since I guess I've thought about my childhood, but I guess fun. I was raised by a single mother. I have an older brother and sister. I went to school at Bruce Guadalupe, also known as the United Community Center. So I grew up right in that area, 9th and Washington, the Greenfield Avenue area. MPS student. I graduated from Riverside High School. I was an athlete. I played basketball my whole life. I did a few other sports, anything that my mom would let me try. I was very much what you would call a tomboy. I wanted to do anything that the boys were doing.
What other sports did you try?
I mean, I played soccer in the backyard. I played Little League baseball. I went through my own little snowboarding and like extreme sports wannabe phase. That didn't last very long, though. But what stuck out for me, what lasted the longest, was definitely basketball. And then I played AAU, so I got a chance to travel around the country at a young age, which I feel like formed a lot of who I am and just knowing that I wanted to see life beyond Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And then I won a state championship at Riverside my senior year in high school. But after that, I decided to go fully commit to art school. So that was the end of my sports career. But I still consider myself an athlete. I'm still active. I box regularly. That's my training regimen now. So, but a lot of my childhood was running around outside, playing sports, and then also just focusing on my academics. My mom really drilled that in me. She wanted me to go to college. So my studies were really important in my household, too.
Did you ever think when you were, you know, like fifth, sixth grade and you got into the AAU circuit that, hey, maybe I could make it in the WNBA?
Yes. One of my first dreams was like, I want to be the first woman in the NBA. And then I actually have this book that I wrote in the third grade where I talk about, like, I hope to play in the WNBA. So I feel like that was kind of a dream for me. But maybe in high school, I realized that I was talented, but then it's kind of hard to explain. So my eighth grade year, I moved briefly to Dallas. And I lived in the Dallas area from eighth grade year halfway through my freshman year. And I was surrounded by the talent level of young girls basketball players in Texas compared to Milwaukee was like, it was a major difference. The way that they treat sports in Texas is just completely different. Youth sports especially is completely different than how they treat it in Wisconsin. So coming back, I think in high school, I was just more focused on trying to get into college and pursue what I wanted to do in college. Up until my senior year, I was thinking that I was going to be pre-med. I was taking AP biology classes, biomedical science classes. I had some college credit already for that pathway, and I didn't decide until my senior year like that I was going to study film.
Why were you attracted to film? Were you like a movie nerd when you were a kid?
Not really, outside of like a couple of Disney movies and just things like that. It's so strange how it happened. So my senior year, I took a creative writing class with my teacher, Ms. Harris. Shout out Ms. Harris. She was at my film premiere. She was at the Warrior Princess premiere 4 years ago. She's always been a supporter of my work, even though I haven't had her class in 12 plus years. But we did an assignment where we had to write a narrative script for a short film, like a 5 or 10 page script, just as an exercise. It was one of our lessons. And at the time, Milwaukee Film had a program called Collaborative Cinema, which was a youth education program where essentially kids were invited to submit short film scripts. And the top one selected got to have their script actually filmed and produced into a short film over the course of a weekend. And the other top 5 scripts got to be part of interning on set. And so between writing that class and getting that experience, like those two things are kind of what led me to pursue film.
Was it your film that was selected?
No, but I was a top 5 script. I mean, my film was never going to get made. I think I had like helicopters written in the script and all sorts of like $1 million budget items. I was obviously, but I think they appreciated my imagination. So they selected me as one of the top 5. And that was my first experience being on a set and I loved it. And then I decided that I would be pursuing filmmaking, and I decided to go to Columbia in Chicago to study film and cinematography. But when I look back on my life, I never realized it, and it's only something that's kind of come to me in the last year or two, just reflecting on different things. You know how, like, when you become an adult, there's just so many memories from your childhood that you completely forget about, and there's certain moments or experiences that trigger those, and it's like a floodgate. I don't know what it was, but, like, recently I've just had so many memories of myself. I was the kid that took the disposable camera with her to class field trips. Like, who does that? What sixth grade kid brings a disposable camera and feels like they need to document everything? And I remember I begged my mom to buy me this, like, underwater camera for our trip to Wisconsin Dells so I could go underwater and take pictures. Like, there was just all these little moments in my life that I, like, why at that young age did I feel it was so important to be documenting moments and experiences? And so, that, like, when those memories have come back to me, it's like, I feel like this thing was always meant to be for me, I guess. You know what I mean? I also, on the last day of school, when we would have our last day party and be signing t-shirts, like, I remember I brought a camera to that too. Yeah, it's just interesting how that came back to me. And I was like, okay, I feel like late in my life, I decided to pursue documentary filmmaking, but that thing, it's always been in there. Like, that instinct to tell stories and to document moments has always been in me. So,
you went to Columbia College in Chicago. That is a really creative, artistic atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yes. I was there my first 2 years, and then I took a gap year and finished my degree in journalism at UW-Milwaukee. And then I think at that point, too, I realized that was what was most important for me was my portfolio. I felt like a degree in journalism also made more sense because I knew at that point that I really wanted to pursue documentary, not necessarily like narrative and studio-based work, which they have great programs for, but I felt like I could come home and do it at a more affordable price and in a way that worked better for me. So,
coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I said, hey, I want to do a short documentary about a boxer in this program. I would really love to do a story about a girl in boxing. Do you by chance have any?
Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster talks about her inspiration for making The Warrior Princess.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back. I'm Libby Collins. We're talking with award-winning Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster. What was it about documentaries that drew you to that particular art form?
I just appreciate telling stories that are real. I actually do have interest in one day maybe doing like a fiction short film, but I think I was just drawn to telling like true stories, things that were happening in the community. The first time I ever went to the Milwaukee Film Festival was also my senior year of high school. When I did that script, my teacher obviously introduced me to the Milwaukee Film Festival. I skipped my homecoming dance to go to the film festival by myself, and I watched a sports documentary. I watched this skateboarding documentary. My senior year, I was also watching, I'd been exposed to like the ESPN 30 for 30 documentaries. Those are some of my favorite documentaries. I've been saying since the age of 18 that my goal one day is to direct a 30 for 30. Between having those experiences that I had, watching those types of films and those just being the stories that I like to tell too, I just feel like that just became the thing that I was obsessed with. I didn't really enjoy being on a set for 12 hours to only get two or three shots set up throughout that whole course of a day. I just didn't enjoy it at the time. As organized and like type A as I can be, I also enjoy the chaos and the unpredictability of what documentary is. I think it's like a good balance for me.
Why do you say it's chaotic?
Because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you can plan as much as you can, and I'm sure there are some stories where you have a little bit more control, but the stories that I've worked on, especially sports stories that are happening in real time, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's different when you're telling a documentary about something that's already happened and you're really just doing sit-down interviews and you're using archival material or maybe recreating things. But to capture something in real time and you hope for a particular outcome, but you really have no idea what's going to happen, like that's the chaos of it. And it's the ability to adapt in any situation, just be prepared for whatever's going to happen so that you're still telling the story like in its true way, but also capturing it in like technically correct. Like there's just so many things that you have to consider that's going through my mind when I'm in the midst of capturing something. But it's really just that unpredictability of not knowing what's going to happen.
You don't think of Milwaukee as being the film capital of the world, mm-hmm. or even the United States, or even the Midwest.
Yep.
You graduated. You had a degree in journalism and in filmmaking. How challenging was it to get that first job?
I feel like I'm kind of a special case because it was not challenging at all. So I moved back to Milwaukee going into my junior year, transferred at UW-Milwaukee. And going into my junior year, I started a video internship at Radio Milwaukee. I did that the entirety of my junior year. Like, I'm very self-driven. I plan ahead probably too much that I sometimes don't enjoy the present. That's something that I'm working on. But I'm always just, like, thinking steps ahead. Like, so the summer before my senior year, I entered at UW-Milwaukee as a video intern in the marketing department. And then going into my senior year, a full-time role at Radio Milwaukee opened up as a multimedia producer doing both video and audio stories. And my first day of my senior year at UWM was the first day of my full-time job at Radio Milwaukee. So I would work from 7 to 3 And then I'd be in class from 4 to 8 every day. I worked full time my entire senior year. So I was already working by the time I graduated, almost a year at that point. So it wasn't really difficult, actually.
Were you creating your own assignments at that time when you started filmmaking? Or did they tell you, this is what we want you to go out and capture?
No, they gave us the flexibility, the creativity to pitch ideas. I worked in the community stories department, so we're primarily telling positive stories about things that are happening in Milwaukee, people who are doing positive things in Milwaukee. So it was kind of my responsibility to come up with ideas, pitch that, and then they would give me the go-ahead to do those stories.
What kind of stories were you attracted to?
Anything Latino, anything about people of color doing amazing work in the city. I wanted, and this is just something that is always in me as a storyteller, it's using my platform to change the narrative about what the city or the majority of people perceive certain communities as. Anything that was happening positively on the south side of Milwaukee, obviously. And one of the stories that I did that eventually led to my documentary, The Warrior Princess, was I went back to my school, Bruce Guadalupe, and I did a story on Israel Shorty Acosta, who that program was created around him. The boxing program at UCC has been around for 40 years. He's a two-time Olympic coach. He's an Olympian himself. He's just a legendary boxing coach. And so I went back and I did a video story on him and one of his boxers, Javier Martinez, who was trying to qualify for the 2020 Olympics. So I did that story in 2018. And then a year later, when I decided to do my first documentary, I came back. I talked to the coach. At the time, Shorty was still there, and then he had his assistant, Angel Villarreal Jr., who eventually took over the program. And I said, hey, I want to do a short documentary about a boxer in this program. A big part of that was, to, like I said, going back into my community and telling a story from my community that was just different, that was positive, that would change the narrative. And I was like, I would really love to do a story about a girl in boxing. Do you by chance have any? And then they gave me Violet Lopez, who at the time was a 3-time champion, and then she's grown up to be an 11-time champion, 2-time youth national champion, Team USA athlete. So yeah, that's how that happened.
She was young at the time, wasn't
yes,
she?
Yes, the first time I filmed with her was at her 12th birthday party.
What was it like working with a 12-year-old? Because they always say, don't work with kids or animals.
I haven't heard that before. It was amazing. Honestly, for me, it had to feel right, like the chemistry. And for us, we hit it off naturally. When they told me about Violet, I had a conversation first with her parents before I even met her, just to see if they would be interested in this. And they were interested in being part of the project for their daughter. And then I met her and it was just like natural. We got along, were able to talk back and forth, goofed around. And it was a lot of fun. Like, I've seen this girl grow up into a young woman who's now in college where I went to school. So it's just been a joy to watch her grow up. It's been a lot of fun. It hasn't been a bad experience as far as like what you're saying, don't work with kids or don't work with animals. It's been great.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
We would have like the pay-per-view and everybody would come over to the house. And so I have memories, so many memories of watching so many major boxing fights growing up.
Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster talks about the significance of boxing in the Puerto Rican community.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
I'm your host, Libby Collins. Let's return to our conversation with award-winning Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster. You said that you, yourself, for training, just for exercise, you do boxing.
Yes.
You were attracted to the boxing story to begin with, and then you wanted to find a young girl who was involved in boxing. Is that kind of unusual for a woman to be that fascinated with that sport?
Well, no, because I also grew up watching boxing, culturally speaking. Like, Puerto Rico, we love baseball, we love boxing. So I grew up watching Felix Trinidad. That was like one of our heroes, Miguel Cotto. That was one of our other Puerto Rican boxing heroes. My mom loved boxing. So I grew up watching boxing at a young age. We would have like the pay-per-view and everybody would come over to the house. And so I have memories, so many memories of watching so many major boxing fights growing up. So not at all. It happened in the reverse. So like that's how I grew up. And then I started making the documentary about boxing. And then I learned more about the amateur boxing scene overall, the Olympic boxing scene, and became obsessed with it. And then the training happened after. So I've only been training for a couple years, but it also started at home for me with boxing too. Like, my family is very big into boxing.
What is it about that sport?
At this point, I've been around it so long, especially with kids who are doing it at a young age. I just have so much respect for the work that goes into it, the discipline that goes into it. It's a very isolating sport. As collaborative as filmmaking is, the way that I do filmmaking is very isolating. So I think I just relate to it from how I pursue my work and the discipline that I pursue my work with. I feel like that mirrors the way that the boxers that I'm around are approaching and pursuing their boxing careers. So I just understand it on a different level, and it's just become so much a part of me. Yeah.
What was it about Violet Lopez, 12 years old, is when you first met her, and she was already competing in boxing. Did you ever explore with her why she was drawn to that sport?
Yeah, that's something that she talked about in the film. She got into it because of her family. She had a cousin that was trying it and was going to the gym, and then they kind of offered it to her, like, hey, do you want to try this? She has this line in the film where she tried dancing, she tried soccer, she tried ballet. She didn't like any of that. But when she went and tried boxing for the first time at 8 years old, for some reason, that's the thing that stuck with her. That's the thing that she ended up loving. I don't even know how you can answer why I love to have punches thrown my way at 8 years old, but that just seemed to be the sport that stuck out for her. And I mean, she's here 11 years later, and 11 years in the game, 11 years of discipline and work, and so many trials and errors, and so many accomplishments too. So, I mean, for her, I think it was just destined.
Where did the name the Warrior Princess come from?
She got that name from her mom, I believe. But she also describes herself as more warrior than princess.
But this was your first film that you worked on as your baby. This was your project.
Correct.
And you started winning awards for it. Were you surprised? Did you think, oh, I got a winner here? I mean, that for a first time out, that's a big deal.
No, it definitely is. I mean, and there's more that I've accomplished with that film that isn't like publicly known. So, I mean, I got the Brico Forward Fund grant, a $10,000 grant to make the project. And that was like the first grant I applied for. I got a fellowship with Kartemquin in Chicago, Diverse Voices in Documentary Fellowship. I mean, Kartemquin produced Hoop Dreams. That's like one of the most legendary sports documentaries out there. So for them to see something in this film meant a lot. There were sometimes I got no's, but in the beginning, I got a lot of yeses. And I mean, that was validating as far as I'm telling a story that people really want to see. And I'm telling the story that's the right story, essentially. Probably spoiled me because then I started to take no's really hard after that. But I think the story just kind of speaks for itself. When people would see the work sample of her, who she was on camera, people loved and resonated with and just wanted to see more of. So, and then, I got several fellowships to support this project, too.
Well, not only that, but you got a lot of national recognition. The Today Show picked you up. How did that all come about?
Yeah, that was in 2020. So this is in the midst of COVID. This was actually August 2021. So the Olympics were delayed. The 2020 Tokyo Games were delayed. And then they were scheduled for August 2021. I had a connection to someone who works for the Today Show in New York. And they told me, like, hey, we are producing this series about the power of sports. It was a series called The Power of Sports. And they were highlighting four individuals from across the country. And their story in sports. And they knew about the project that I was working on. And so we kind of like went back and forth, and they asked for a 5-minute version of this project. Like, that was the runtime that I had. And at that point, I think the project is interesting because it's lived in so many different capacities. So the Today Show was this 5-minute version. And then a couple weeks after that, I submitted to a couple festivals as a 9-minute version. And then the festival version, the Milwaukee Film Festival version, is a 14-minute version. And then in 2024, I released the final 20-minute version with these new scenes. But the Today Show, yeah, I think, having that connection to somebody who was producing a series about people in sports, it just kind of naturally fit.
You had national recognition, your first film, about a 12-year-old girl who was boxing. Did it seem like things were easy at that point? Because you had that early recognition in your career, did you say, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk?
No, not at all. I'm just in constant pursuit of like growth and being at the next level. And there's just so much more that I want to accomplish now. So back then, there was still even more that I wanted to accomplish that I hadn't at that point. I still felt like I needed to prove myself in a big sense and that I could do this on my own as well. It was great. It was exciting. But I didn't at all feel like, okay, I made it. Like, this is, you know, I just knew that. And this was also, like I said, in the midst of COVID, like the version of the story that's on the Today Show is actually a version where, I mean, she didn't have tournaments for a year and a half because of the pandemic. And then when she did come back from the pandemic, she went on a losing streak after she had been, like, the last things that I was filming with her was her becoming a 3-time national champion and being on a winning streak. So the story also wasn't unfolding the way that I thought it would. And so when Today Show picked it up, it was kind of that version, and it worked. It was still, like, inspiring, and it was a great story just because of who she is as a young lady. But from like the sports storyline side of it, it wasn't necessarily going how I wanted it to go, because I thought we were going to be just on this winning streak and she was going to win all these national championships, and like, because that's what she was on point to do. And then the interruption of the pandemic really affected that
trajectory. Do you think that made the story more compelling?
Yes, because the story is much more about her journey versus her championships and who she's become as a result of going through those hardships. And I think we can all relate to that, too. We all know what that's like. The coolest part of that was, like I said, so that series was released leading up to the Tokyo Games. And so there's the online version, but when they did the live air version, the Today Show anchor kicked it off in front of the Olympic rings in Tokyo. So that was a really cool experience. As far as hearing from, I don't think that it was a thing where like,
I mean, Francis Ford Coppola didn't pick up the phone and call you.
No, nobody called me. Nope, I was still in my apartment in the East Side. Nothing changed for me in that sense.
Still ahead on WTMJ Conversations.
I don't think that's something that you're going to get on day one, because you also have to build trust with the person, so much so that they forget that they're on camera and can become their full, like, self.
Award-winning Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster talks about capturing the essence of a person on film.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
And I'm Libby Collins. Our guest today is Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster.
Once you completed that film, and again, much of your work is ongoing, as you said, you released it first 5 minutes and 9 minutes and 14. Can you ever say this project is over with any particular project you're working on? Or is it always a work in progress?
I think it depends on the story you're telling. With Violet, I could tell her story forever because her story is still going on. She's still boxing. She's about to compete in the National Golden Gloves. She's eventually going to pursue either the Olympics or professional boxing. So, I mean, I could forever follow that story. When you make a film, I feel like that the life of that is, I mean, a film exists forever. That exists forever. I haven't filmed anything for the Warrior Princess in over 2 years, but I'm still talking about it. So the life of your project lives forever in that sense. Like I said, I think it depends on the project you're doing. If you're doing something that about something that's already happened, it's easy to say like, okay, this is the beginning and this is the end of the story and that's it. I think that's also one of the challenges as a filmmaker is like when to say when. And for me, I think I knew, like, I thought I knew actually when we did the release in 2022, this 14-minute version, I was like, I think this is it. But I still was working with Violet, thankfully, because then I got to capture additional moments, including her making Team USA for the first time, and then re-release that. And that's the new ending of this new version that we released in 2024. And that was her original dream in our very first interview when she was 12 years old. So had I not continued pursuing that project, even though we had already did the film festival and the Today Show and all those things, like I would never even have this latest version with this ending. That's true to what we talked about the very first time we ever spoke on camera with Violet.
As a filmmaker, cinematographer, how do you capture the essence of a person? Obviously, if somebody's really good looking, it's easy to photograph them. Mm-hmm. But to get inside their character and the story you want to convey, what are you looking for?
I think it requires a lot of patience, a lot of observing. I don't think that's something that you're going to get on day one, because you also have to build trust with the person, so much so that they forget that they're on camera and can become their full, like, self without consciously thinking about it and the fact that there's a camera in their face. For me, the number one thing is just having that patience, having that persistence, having that presence with them, whether the camera's rolling or not, and just getting them comfortable to that stage too, so that they could be who they are. I think you have to be willing to play like the long run and the long game in that sense, as far as just building trust with somebody.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
I got the go ahead on Monday, and by Saturday we were in Lake Geneva filming. Hadn't met these two women before, so it happened that fast.
Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster talks about the complexities of filming a documentary.
You're listening to WTMJ Conversations.
Welcome back to our conversation with Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster. I'm your host, Libby Collins. Your latest film, Where It Started, had some buzz at the Milwaukee Film Festival. What inspired you to do that documentary?
I mean, I didn't go into 2026 thinking I want to do another documentary. After I did The Warrior Princess, I personally just needed a break from filmmaking. I had been doing that project for 5 years, so I was tired. I wanted to try other things that eventually led me back to doing this, but just with more intention and just in a different approach. Honestly, the way that film happened was me and my partner were watching the National Figure Skating Championships. And I love the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. My partner's father has traveled and worked the last three Olympic Games in boxing. So boxing and like the Olympics, I watch the Olympics, the Summer and Winter Olympics all the time. I've always loved snowboarding too. Like I said, I went through a little extreme sports phase very briefly. My mom bought me my little Walmart plastic snowboard and would take me to the sledding hill and let me ride it. And I used to watch the X Games as a kid. Actually, the first time I thought like, oh, I want to do videos in sports was like watching camera operators in like the X Games and just being fascinated with that. But so I've always had like an appreciation for winter sports. Why we were watching figure skating, I don't know. It was just on, and it was in January. The speed skating trials had just happened at the Pettit Center, but I missed them. And then and just knowing that the Winter Olympics was coming up, like all of these different things, I was like, man, it'd be really cool to tell a winter sports story. Like I've done basketball, I've done obviously boxing. I've never captured anything in the winter like that. And so I'm like, it'd be really cool to just to capture a winter sports story. I started doing research, just what was going on. Like I said, the speed skating trials had already passed, so I missed that opportunity. And I found a competition that was happening at the Grand Geneva Resort in Lake Geneva called the Hot Dog Open. It was a terrain park competition for young snowboarders and skiers. And so I sent an email to the marketing manager. This was a week before the competition was taking place. And I was like, hey, my name is Bianca Fuster. I'm a documentary filmmaker. These are the things that I've done. I would love to come and just do like a 2 or 3 minute like highlight video of the contest this weekend. Just for me personally to get the experience of shooting sports. It was never my intention to even go out there and make a documentary. And then I also included, like, I primarily tell stories about girls and women in sports. Like, is there anybody that's signed up to compete that's like a girl that you think you could potentially introduce me to? And then she reached out on Monday saying yes, that I, you know, giving me the permission to do this project. And then she mentioned that one of the judges of the competition is this woman named Ashley Battersby. So she becomes a central figure in the story. And then she also ended up pairing me with a young girl named Catherine Roberts, who's a snowboarder who was going to be competing. And so I got the go ahead on Monday. And by Saturday, we were in Lake Geneva filming. Hadn't met these two women before. So it happened that fast. And then as I did those interviews and got to know them more, hear more about their stories, I was like, there's just too much gold in this that it would be a disservice to do just a little 2 minute highlight reel of guys in the park doing flips and not like diving deeper into these women's stories, especially Ashley Battersby. She's such a pioneer in her sport. She was named to the first Olympic free ski team in 2012. She ultimately like blew her knee 3 weeks before the Olympics, so she wasn't able to compete. She's an X Game champion. She's a Dew Tour champion. When her career started, they didn't even have a women's division in freestyle skiing. So she was forced to compete in the men's division of freestyle skiing until they ultimately like fought for that. She said it was her and four other women who were essentially the small group of women in the world competing against men in their division until they finally were able to get their own women's division for competition. So I was blown away by her story. And I'm like, we have to talk more about this because I love sports and I don't know this story. And I know there's others that don't know this story, but people need to hear about this. And then the young girl is an incredibly talented snowboarder. She doesn't pursue the sport the way Ashley did, as far as she's not pursuing a professional career. But she just had a lot of great things to say. She provided a lot of perspective about what the amateur scene looks like today, especially as a young girl, which is still very sexist, misogynist. You know, a lot of people telling her she doesn't belong on the slope. Boys telling her the only reason she even got the interview with me is because she's a girl. So it's interesting because it mirrors very much the Warrior Princess. I feel like 4 years later, I'm telling a story that's like, yes, we're highlighting this pioneer and these talented athletes, but we're still telling the same story as far as like the mistreatment of young girls and women trying to pursue a sport that is a boy sport.
When you pick the people you're making the documentaries about, in some ways, are they a reflection of you in your journey in filmmaking?
Oh, absolutely. I see myself in like all three of these young ladies between Ashley, Violet, and Catherine. I also pursued, like, I remember being in Columbia when it was my freshman welcome week at Columbia. I was speaking with my academic advisor, a woman. She was asking me you studied film and then you have a concentration directing or editing or cinematography. And I told her that I wanted to have my concentration in cinematography. And she, like, questioned me about it. She's like, are you sure? Like, not a lot of women get hired as cinematographers. Like, are you sure you want to go that route? I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. So it's like at a young, like that's my first week going on campus. I haven't even stepped foot in a classroom yet. So as far as like being told I can't do something or just having my like my passion questions, being a young woman and a young Latina in classrooms and then on film sets or film productions, being the only woman or Latina in all of those scenarios. And I played basketball and I was an athlete too. So I just know what it's like to be the girl and the woman and the male dominated thing and to be fighting for your place and for guys to up and down you and try to treat you like you don't belong. Like, I think there's definitely a connection between the stories that I choose to tell and who I am and my journey too.
Coming up on WTMJ Conversations.
For more people to see the work, for more people to be able to hear a story that I put together is definitely still a goal.
Award-winning Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster talks about her future in the movies.
Now, more of WTMJ Conversations.
I'm Libby Collins. Today's conversation is with award-winning Milwaukee filmmaker Bianca Fuster. What's next? You're a very young woman.
Yes.
You've had success in your career so far. What do you really want to do? I mean, is the goal to continue to make documentaries? Would you someday like to work on a big Hollywood feature film?
So many goals, both here at home and just on a bigger national scale. I feel like my immediate... So I just launched my sports storytelling studio, which I'm making my documentaries under Real Media. So we both do sports documentaries. We self-produce and self-direct. Like Where It Started is our first documentary under that brand. And we got to do the film festival with it. So that was an incredible way to launch the brand. But we also work with athletes, sports brands on branded content, particularly with that storytelling angle, because that's what my strength is. And just content marketing needs. Right now I'm working with a Paralympian. Her name is Emily Oberst. She's a silver medalist. She plays wheelchair basketball for Team USA and won silver at the Paris Games with the women's wheelchair basketball team. So I've been working with her. She's launched a podcast. She's building her personal brand. She just signed with an agency. So I work with her monthly on content for her personal brand, for her social media. But we're also collaborating on a potential somewhat of a short documentary too. I've gotten some really great opportunities since launching Real Media. I got to do some work with Red Bull. I got to work on another high-profile sports podcast. So in the immediate, my goals are to continue building that brand, to produce and direct more documentaries about girls and women in sports. I have a long list of things here just on a local level, stories that I want to tell, ranging from wheelchair basketball to race car driving. Like there's just so many stories that I want to tell about girls and women who are competing in these different sports here in Wisconsin, giving them the platform to be seen, to tell their story. And in the long term, I think on a national level, on a bigger level, I still want to direct a 30 for 30. If it's not an ESPN 30 for 30, then it's something that I put out. But, you know, obviously to have something that's distributed on that level is like would be a dream for more people to see the work, for more people to be able to hear a story. That I put together is definitely still a goal too. So maybe one day having a physical space. Like I said, I'm also a former MPS student. My teachers meant a lot to me, so I would also love to do some youth programming at some point, but these are like long-term visions. I don't want to put a timeline on them. I say maybe like a 5 to 10 year plan, but they could happen sooner than that. If they do, then I'm going to go all in on that. But definitely just building my brand, telling more documentary stories, and trying to pursue this full time. Yeah.
And will you keep boxing?
Oh, yeah. I love training. I train pretty much every day. I love training.
Do you see yourself ever in an actual fight in the ring? Or is this just something that you do in your spare time?
I mean, I jokingly say that. And like, I jokingly with people at the gym jokingly say that. But I don't think I'll ever do that. But I've sparred before. So I do know what it's like to get punched in the face. I've always, and that's kind of why I wanted to try. I was like, I just want to know what it would feel like slash how would I take it if I got punched in the face. So I have sparred before, which is a lot of fun. But I mean, I just love the work. I love the intensity of it. Like I said, I played basketball. I'm a contact sports kind of person. I can't really do yoga or Pilates. That's not really my thing. I kind of like the chaos and it's just a great outlet. Punching a bag on a really bad day feels great. It's great conditioning, full body conditioning, and you don't even have to ever get hit. Like, you don't have to box with the intention to fight. You can box with the intention to train. It teaches you a lot about yourself. It teaches you a lot about mental push, Because so much of it is just like, you can do the thing physically, but can you mentally push yourself when you're tired to continue in the workout and just do it at an intense level? And just in boxing, I think, like I said, when you go in, you may train with others, but ultimately when you go in the ring, you go in by yourself. And I may have a team when I'm filmmaking, but when I go into the edit, ultimately I'm going into that myself. So there's just a lot of like things that line up, and it just kind of gives me a nice little edge. I feel like I like the fire that I get when I work out.
Bianca Fuster, you have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Libby.
We've been talking with award-winning filmmaker Bianca Fuster. She told us about growing up on the south side of Milwaukee and being raised by a single mother. She also talked about her passion for sports as well as filmmaking and getting national attention for her film, The Warrior Princess, on the Today Show. Now, if you joined us late and you want to hear our entire conversation with Bianca, go to WTMJ.com and share today's show with your friends and family. You'll also find a partial transcript courtesy of eCourt Reporters. For WTMJ Conversations, I'm Libby Collins.